The Netball World Cup is nearly here. 16 teams battle it out across 10 days to be crowned world champions. It's the highlight of the netball calendar, and as the Vitality Roses prepare to step out on court, the official England Netball podcast takes you closer to the action than ever before. Lindsay here, great to have you along, and this time on the pod, things have moved on. With the England squad now in South Africa, final preparations are underway for the big tournament. Group stages begin on Friday the 28th of July when England face Barbados and, interesting side fact, Sasha and Kadeen Corbin will switch nationalities from England to play for Barbados this year. It'll be Kadeen's first World Cup and will mark Sasha's final competitive appearance before retiring from the game. Should be spicy as they come up against their old England teammates on day one. Australia, New Zealand, Jamaica and South Africa all boast names from the elite game across the globe. And as world netball becomes more competitive, keep an eye on the likes of Uganda and Malawi. It's all to play for in 2023. So, what do England have to do to make it to that final? In this series of the pod, I'm not only in conversation with the players, I'm also taking a closer look at the culture of the Roses and the qualities required to be world-class ballers, from determination to friendship, growth mindset to leadership. It all needs to be in the mix, and that's where we're going to land this time, on that all-important word, leadership. Who better then to shed some light on putting your best foot forward than the England co-captains Natalie Metcalf and Leila Guscoth and vice-captain Jade Clark. Welcome to courtside, all three of you ladies. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's so lovely to see you. I can see you because we're looking at each other across a link, but you're now in South Africa, aren't you? How is the journey over there, Nat?
Was all right, to be honest, wasn't it? It was brilliant. 11 and a half hour flight. We had first time wearing our bespoke Nike tracksuit, which went down very well. And then, yeah, we had a bit of a chat when we landed about who got the most sleep. And I think it was Laura Malcolm and Fran Williams.
Excellent. What did they clock in at? Over to you, Leila.
Laura was, I think, 8 hours. Eight. And then has slept 10 hours every night since then. So.
I think being strong sleepers is important to the tournament, though, because you've got to be able to relax, you know, and have a good sleep. The question is, did you play human buckaroo? Did you see how many little bits of rubbish you could pop on them while they were asleep until one of them woke up? Go on, Jade.
We were too kind, weren't we? No prancers yet.
Sure, we'll filter in. Yeah.
Okay, well, look, on the way back, there you go, human buckaroo. Yeah. Give it a go. Tell me about the moment, though, that you were made captains and vice captain. Was it all part of the same call? I've been wondering this. When you found out, firstly, that you were in the squad and secondly, that you were going to be co-captains and vice captain. Nat, do you want to go first?
I was thinking Leila should share the story because it's a nice one.
No, Nat should go first.
Go on then, Leila. Go on. She's handed the baton to you.
So we had our selection calls maybe a couple of weeks before that. Actually, maybe longer. And then we have like a Roses Day. And Nat and I found out on a joint call together on the Roses Day kind of phone call. And I think, Nat, you must have had a heads up.
No.
Nat seemed very calm when Nat was told. And I was just in complete shock for ages. Thought they were joking. Was texting Nat just like, is this a joke? And then after about like 5 minutes, maybe realised that I needed to say something in response to it all. And yeah, it was all very nice. But yeah, it was a shock. And it was nice being on the phone together. And I think by then you already knew, Jade.
Yeah, mine was Rose's Day as well. And Jess messaged me, can you come to my room? And I was like, am I in trouble? What have I done? And then, Jess and Serena were there and they just like had a big long chat with me. And it was really lovely and definitely surprised and great not to be in trouble.
Is that what you thought it was? You think, oh, what's happened? Leila, am I right in thinking it's the first time you've been a captain for England?
Yeah, I mean, I captained at like under 17s and under kind of age stuff. But yeah, no, nothing at like senior level before. Yeah, it's really cool. It's just something that I never thought I'd be able to do. Or yeah, I never thought I'd be that person at all that would represent kind of the team in the leadership kind of captaincy capacity. So yeah, I'm like honoured that the coaches and like Serena and people would think that I could do it. And you know, such a great group of people that it is just a real privilege to be able to like try and represent the team and try and, you know, hopefully lead us. to bigger and better things each time. So it feels nice. It's nice and fuzzy, warm and fuzzy.
That's lovely to hear. And we should say that the Serena you're talking about is, of course, Serena Kirsten, otherwise known as Serena Guthrie, who is back with the Roses, but in a slightly different role. And I'm going to come to that. But Nat, I have to know what your mum said, because I spoke to you ahead of Commonwealth Games when I'd actually spoken to your mum as well. What did she say this time?
She was just really excited, really honoured. I love that you've just said you spoke to my mum, and she'll be well excited about that. But yeah, they're just super proud. And I think for me to be able to lead alongside these guys is an absolute privilege. I think what they bring to it is massive. So yeah, mum's dead proud of us.
That's really lovely. And Jade, how does vice captain fit in? Because obviously you've had leadership roles before, you know the Roses inside out. Where do you sort of see your role?
Yeah, it's obviously a role I've done before, but it's been like a few years. The last time I was vice captain was like World Cup, like with Serena as well. So it's a role I feel comfortable in, and just I was just like really happy when like Jess had confidence in me. And I think for me, it's like bringing all my experience. I know like whenever in a meeting, Layla's like, "Well, what's your experience of it, Jade?" Because she knows I've been in lots of situations before for about 20 years. So like just being able to bring my knowledge and support of these two, and also for me to learn as well. I've like learned a lot of Layla and Nat, especially over these last few weeks, about how they really empower everyone and have like really good relationships with everyone in the squad. So bringing my experience, but also I'm taking this opportunity to learn and develop as a leader as well.
And that is wonderful when you just drop in your 20 years of experience there. It's quite incredible. And now we've had the love-in, ladies. You know, I'm going to put the pressure on a little bit, because I've been talking about the qualities required to be a Rose. And I want to know what each of you bring to the camp. Okay, so I'd like you to look each other in the eye. The pressure's on. And sort of tell me what each one brings. So, Layla, if you could go first, can you tell me what Jade brings?
Oh, okay. There's too many things that Jade brings, so I'll give you a few. I think for Jade, she's touched on her experience, and she has the years of experience, but she's also really willing and open to sharing that with everyone and using that to kind of lift the team and drive the standards. And Jade's always the one, if things aren't good enough on the court, or if things are good on the court, she's someone who will always drive kind of the standards and the behaviours that we would want to have to be kind of the top players we can be. When Jade speaks, it's like everybody listens. Like, she's got the most like commanding presence when she's got something to say, and it's always so insightful and at completely the right time. And I just watch Jade in the gym sometimes, and I just think she's just got the perfect like determination, hard work, like athlete champion mindset that I think is just so infectious on us all. I was watching her clean the other day, and me and Tifa were like, oh, she's just like the perfect athlete. And so it just inspires everybody around her to just like want to be like that as well. She just leads by such example and is also really kind to everyone around her.
Lovely. Let's hear then from Jade for Nat.
I've known Nat for a long time, and what she's always had is that infectious enthusiasm and belief in everyone around her. I think when you're on Nat's team, that's the team you always want to be on, because she's going to make you feel really confident and just feed up her confidence as well. I think we've all said how Nat really cares about everyone in the squad, and she wants to make sure everyone's voice is heard. There won't be one person who's in the room thinking, oh, I didn't get to say what I think, or I feel like I'm being ignored, or I can't have my voice heard. Like, Nat will make sure that everyone's well represented. Like, she's absolutely on it. And I think even without all the off-court stuff, like the on-court stuff, like your presence, like she can lead in a game. She's the one that's going to bring that passion on court and just absolutely go for it. And you want to follow her lead. You want to follow her into battle.
Oh, lovely, lovely smile and giggle between you there as well. That's great. Yeah, we want those leaders out on court. And finally then, Nat, if you could tell us about Layla.
There's a warm, fuzzy feeling in this room. It's great. Yeah, for me, I just think Layla is absolutely incredible. And seeing Layla step up into this leadership role has just like been just brought even more out of you. I think her ability to lead by example on the court and off the court is phenomenal. I think you drive the standards. I think you're willing to have the tough conversations. I think you're willing to tell everyone not just what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And I think that's really important within a leadership role. I think your ability to connect with people and understand everyone on an individual level is incredible. And she really, really cares about everyone in the team and wants to make sure that, again, their voice is heard, but also that they're understood. And I think her ability to just drive the team and push us to be better in every single training session, whatever we're doing on or off the court, Layla is the one driving that.
Thanks, Dan.
There you go. Well, there you are, a little bit closer to our co-captains and vice-captain. But ladies, I really want you to take me inside the Vitality Roses. You know, one thing that we don't always get access to is how it works between the leadership team, so between you three and the coaching staff. Like, why do you sort of need the captain, vice-captain role in order to make the team work, as it were, between you and the coaching staff?
I think it's almost a bridge between kind of the two, like the playing group and the coaches. And I think we're really lucky that as a staff group and as a playing group, we all get on really well. But I think being able to kind of funnel ideas and be able to kind of communicate those directly to the coaches, and also having people that kind of drive the values and drive kind of the intent for the team as well is kind of what I think our role is, to like represent the players, but also kind of merge with the coaches as well to make sure that we're all kind of aiming towards the same things.
Yeah, so I think like foreseeing what might happen in a World Cup, so we're like brainstorming what like threats might be coming against, what challenges, and making sure we're really prepared so whatever happens, you know, we've got every scenario covered. And like Layla said, really like representing the group, and we've done a lot over the last couple of weeks developing us as well, like working with psychologists, working with Sweden, the culture coach. So yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Not just thrown us in there, like off you go, do whatever you want. They've like really guided us really well, and feel like we've really developed under them as well.
Like, your question's great, because we've been working through that on how it works for us. Obviously, you saw that a new leadership group has been named, and our wider leadership group with Elfran and Helen has been named as well. So I think your question's brilliant, because we've been figuring out what that space looks like, how our roles work since joining up for the World Cup. So it's been a great learning process for us as well, which we've all really enjoyed doing.
Well, I did actually want to ask you about the sports psychology side of things as well, because there's one thing, isn't the training and playing and being ready for a World Cup, and you've all done that before. You've moved towards this massive event in Liverpool. But in terms of psychology, I just think there's so much going on there. You've got the fans that are in a different place this time with it being played abroad, and you've got social media. What do you actually do with the sports psychologist?
Loads.
Yeah.
I guess some of the stuff that you've spoken about. So we've spoken about kind of some of the external influences, and what Jade mentioned with kind of the threats and the things that may impact us in the games. We kind of touch to some of that stuff. But a lot of the work we've been doing kind of recently is some of the on-court stuff. So how we kind of individually, collectively manage ourselves in games, in training, managing kind of momentum and the things that can affect or shift that, and working on our mindset collectively as a group and individually to try and kind of put us in the best place that we can be in a couple of weeks.
And does everybody have access to that?
Yeah, everyone does. And we've had sports psychologists kind of in and around our training sessions. We've had kind of some classroom sessions, and, you know, we've had sports psychs on the sidelines ready to ask us questions in sessions and make us really think about what we're doing, not just from a physical point of view, but from a mental perspective as well.
And sometimes you might think like sports psych sessions are one-on-one, but we've actually been doing quite a lot of the group, or as a unit, staff and players all involved. I think that's been brilliant for us. So I think that's been a great thing driving that.
Yeah.
And just in terms of the psychology of things, I understand that you've been getting motivational messages on your coffees in South Africa,
which is
something else, isn't it? So what's been said on those cups?
She's got one right now.
So
we didn't plan this, by the way. When Jade's like, here's what I prepared earlier, this isn't planned.
Although, keep going, stay strong, I love you. So I've obviously made a big impact on that. Had some other ones, had you an icon, and that's one of my favourites.
Yeah, Fran was really sad when she found out there were six icons and she was the only, you're an icon. There's been a few, hasn't there? Have a great day.
Thank you for making us part of your day.
Yeah. So Mi was upset because she didn't get a message. So she went back again to ensure that she got one later.
And I guess the sort of mindset mindset part of it is huge going into these tournaments, and not necessarily something that we think about when we're watching you play, because we're sort of there as sports fans. But you must have so much going on in your minds, and you've got this captaincy and vice captaincy role as well. Have you imagined what it's going to feel like stepping out for that first game? Because let me take you there, ladies. You know, what's going to be running through your heads on game one?
I think once we get to game one, it'll be like quite joyful, because we know all the hard work's been done, like all those years and years. Like, we've been selected, we've gone through all the prep camp, and we're here now. And that's the bit. You get to step on court, you know you've done everything you can, and you get to be on that world stage and absolutely enjoy it. And that's when we use everything that we've done as a psych sessions, like what's going through our minds. If there's something negative, how do we turn that into a positive, and like really connecting as a group and putting all that work into practice. So yeah, I think we're all like really excited just to get out there and play in front of the crowd, and to know that everyone's watching us at home and supporting us.
Yeah, I think it's been really good. We've been talking lots about what we can like physically control and kind of just sharing that with each other. And so things like, even we'll say, oh, I feel really nervous. And someone else goes, yeah, me too. And just kind of speaking those things out, but focusing on, yeah, what we can control in that environment is something that I think has been really useful. And we know we'll feel nervous, excited,
every
emotion going into that first game, but almost just speaking it, acknowledging it, and kind of filtering through to what we can control and what we need to do for our game, and it's kind of what's most important for us.
I think embracing it as well. I remember Serena saying before the last World Cup and walking out for the very first time, she kind of like prepared us that the arena was going to be full, there was going to be so many people, and she encouraged us to look at the crowd and try and find your family and embrace that moment. Like Jay just said, all the work's been done by that point, what can we control? And I think just enjoying that moment. People flying over all across the world to come and watch the World Cup is such an incredible moment. So I think just encouraging everyone to enjoy that, smile and connect with someone in the crowd and be like, we're here.
That's a wonderful piece of advice. I remember being given something similar for my wedding, where someone said, just take a moment and appreciate that all those people that you love and that you know are there on that day to support you. And you know, you're going to have that in the crowd. You're going to have all the extra people watching and listening as well. So I really hope you can just have that moment to connect. But, you know, the big question, the really big question that everybody wants to know is, what song are you walking out to and who picks it?
Oh,
are you allowed to tell us?
Well, no, we've not done it yet.
At Commonwealth Games, I remember us like putting one forward, but there was already a song picked for us, so we didn't get to choose. So we need to get in early on that so that we can pick a song.
Yeah, we do.
We're going to have to do a team vote.
There's a bit of an age contrast now. So we've got Amber, and for me, didn't know who Amber was.
Robbie Williams.
And then Robbie Williams, yeah. So we'll need to find a middle ground that's not Celine Dion.
Yeah, because I guess Fumi and Liv won't know who Robbie Williams is, which is frightening, isn't it?
Yeah.
She needed some prompting, but she got there.
She did eventually, yeah.
She got there. Well, that's good. And I guess the other question that fans really want to know ahead of these big events is, what happens in the changing rooms just before you go out? Because we don't have that sort of access, really. And it fascinates me as to how teams get themselves to that point where they're like, right, this is it. This is the moment. So what happens in the netball changing room before you go out at England?
Yeah, we don't like to spend too much time having quiet time, do we? We like there to be an atmosphere, having fun, connecting with each other, because otherwise you kind of sat in your own head being nervous for half an hour. So we've definitely got the music blasting. We're playing with Bert the Ball, like everywhere. People have got their own prep, like they're taping, and then we do activations where you're actually getting your body ready to go out on court. And then we'll like bring everyone in with about, we'll have the coaches meeting first. So Jess will come in, just going over and refreshing what we're going to do in that game. And then, yeah, we'll all get in a huddle and the captain's team talk, and then we're off. So I think, again, by that point, all the hard work is done and you kind of connect with the team, be focused. A few people have the headphones on and be in their own space.
And when you say the captain's team talk, are you going to do it split or like as a double act every time, or don't you know yet?
Probably share it, yeah. Yeah, we think we are. We've not got that far.
Yeah.
We're going to read a line each. That's the most, okay, like in school. Yeah.
I did wonder about that. I wondered about that for the half time and quarter times as well, because you don't get long in a quarter. So I wondered if you'd worked out ahead, like who's going to talk, or will that just come?
It varies, doesn't it? And I think with we've spoken about the fact with World Cup, it's so different to a normal test series where there's three matches over 10 days or something. We've got 5 games in the first 5 days. So people might get sick of hearing the same voice, and it's quite nice hearing everyone speak. So there's 6 of us in the leadership group and kind of sharing that responsibility. We've discussed a little bit. And so we've kind of informally decided some things, but, you know, if in a game something happens and someone feels really passionate about speaking in the quarter time or the half time huddle, then, you know, we encourage that too. Like, it shouldn't just be the 6 of us or the 3 of us that are the voices. Like, we've got amazing leaders throughout the whole squad. So hearing and sharing that is important.
I think that's been one of the best things so far since coming out here and in our prep camps, that everyone has got that voice. And you can just feel it as you're going towards a huddle. Anyone in the 15 is starting to do the one to start the huddle and be like, right, I've got this, guys. And you can feel that amongst the team. So we want to encourage that, and we want people to be able to feel like they can take that moment and share what they want to say with the group. So I think it's been really good balance, to be honest, hasn't it?
I think hearing you speak, Nat, you always talk about the squad and the 12, and in this case, the 15, because we've got those 3 travelling reserves as well, which is slightly different for the World Cup this year. And Leila, I did want to ask you, obviously in 2019, you were robbed of a proper stab at the World Cup, but the rules were different 4 years ago and we didn't have those travelling reserves. So England couldn't put another player in. How do you think having those travelling reserves will impact the tournament this time?
Yeah, I think it's really great to have kind of 3 reserves, and we, like you just said, we don't really look at it like that. Like, we are a 15 and everything we do is as a 15, and everyone kind of contributes and has been really amazing in that space. Like, I think just from a personal level, like for in 2019, it would have been really great if I could have been replaced. So I think just for like the game, it's nice for teams not to have to kind of run through a tournament with 11 players or something, and you can field kind of your strongest 12 the whole way through. I think that's a really good move for the netball, and I hope it will benefit the game. It will help squads if they do face any major injuries. But for us, we've certainly been approaching it as a 15, and we do know when it gets closer to the competition that obviously the 12 will be at matches and the 3 won't be on the bench, but as much as we can, keeping together as the kind of 15 that we are for the World Cup.
And of course, nobody wants injury or illness, but I think that having the option there is really important, because 4 years ago, it did make a big impact. And, you know, we are all fully behind you, and you've got another stab at the World Cup this year. And does that sort of excite you, make you nervous? Do you think about 4 years ago, or are you sort of, right, we're a new World Cup now?
Yeah, I don't think too much about it. As in, like, I don't feel nervous going into this World Cup. Like, I think so much has happened since then. But what I always remember about 2019 is, although I'd done my Achilles in game 2 or whatever, I remember just really wanting to have my operation and just come back to the group, because the feeling of that World Cup was just so amazing. Like, this atmosphere of Liverpool was just insane. And I'd never been in anything like it. But the camaraderie of the team and just the vibe and the energy, I loved. And like, we've got that now, just that really like infectious energy where we all really like love, care for each other, want to do really well, want to push each other, want to be the best we can be, is what I felt then and wanted to be a part of as well. So I always just kind of think back to that although it was like a really like sad time, I also have just the best memories of it because of how great the squad were and how great Liverpool was as an event. And so just, I don't know, sometimes it's nice to think about when you think you've got the netball side, but there's so much more to the game sometimes as well. And it's always just a bit of a good reminder for me that there's all that other stuff that's quite important as well as what you can put out on court.
Let me ask you about that, Jade, because Leila's just touched there on life outside netball. And yes, there is a life outside netball. None of us are aware of it, but it is there. I just wondered what your sort of experience outside netball has brought to the game. And I'll start with you, Jade, but I'm interested in everyone's perspective on that.
What I always like to do outside of netball is like spend time with my family, and I know they'll care about me no matter what the result is. And I think that's something we bring into the squad, like, we all care about each other, and it doesn't matter, you know, at the end of the day, we all care about each other as people first. So I think that's something we've got in bags here. Like,
we really care about each other as people, and we just want to value each other, and we celebrate how diverse we are and everything that each unique person brings in and their weirdness. So I think that's something I want to bring in from the outside into the squad.
Nice. Yeah, I like a bit of their weirdness. And someone said to me, that's what Serena brings as well. She brings like a bit of a curveball, which is very, very important. Layla, you're a doctor. Do you think that impacts on your netball life?
Yeah, I think in a number of ways. And I think at the start of my career, like work-wise, I just used to find it an inconvenience to my netball career, if anything. But I think I have learned, well, I think they both give me quite good perspective. So I think like the hospital obviously gives me a brilliant perspective sometimes on kind of results in netball or whatever's going on. Like, you know, a day at work sometimes make you really quickly realise how fortunate we are to be playing this game and getting to represent at the highest level. And I think kind of some of the stressful stuff, I think I've started to learn a lot from work about kind of managing stress and managing, you know, like cardiac arrest is really stressful. But some of that is actually quite transferable to some of the stuff we've been doing with the psych and thinking about how we manage our minds in those stressful scenarios. Like World Cups are stressful and competitions can be stressful. And I think they are, although the stakes are different, there's a lot of similarities that you can pick out with both of them.
I think for me, I was so guilty at times of being so invested in netball that when I would finish a tour or a competition and then get out of it, I'd be like, oh, like what's going on type of thing, like where's my schedule, or like what's everyone doing type of thing. So I think for me, towards further into my career, finding balance has been really important, similar to both Jane and Leila. I'm close with my family and want to spend time with them away from the court, and that for me is a really wholesome feeling, and getting that one-on-one time. I know my family are all coming out and so excited to do so. I think, yeah, for me, it's just having that balance and making sure I'm a netballer and then a person outside of netball too. That's been really important.
Well, let's take you right back inside netball, because Nat, you were captain at the Commonwealth Games. And I know that you were actually really disappointed to miss out on the medals last summer. And I just wondered what you've learned from that and how have the team moved forward?
Yeah, well, I think with how we've approached this World Cup, we spent a long time reviewing the Commonwealth Games. And like you said, we were all disappointed and gutted to not be on that podium, especially with it being a home Commonwealth Games. And I think that stung for quite a long time. But like I said, we reviewed the process and it was really important that we put a line underneath it and took a lot of learnings from that. So I think coming into this World Cup and all the prep we've been doing, we've been really wanting to leave no stone unturned. So having that additional psyching, reviewing the culture and things like that has been massive for this group. And it's kind of felt this real freshness about it going into this World Cup, which is massively exciting. And like Layla said, the feeling amongst the group, the players, the staff, everyone, we're just so enjoying this moment in this build-up to the World Cup. So there's a really good feel amongst the team.
That's great. And you can see that on your social media as well. You can see that there's a lot of love in the team and that you're all really enjoying being there and that you've got those new players, but also 20 years of experience, Jay Clark, MBE. You are, of course, the most cap player in England netball history with 200 caps. In fact, you're the most cap player ever for a single country. Now, Irene van Dijk is the only other player to reach over 200 caps. I think she got 145 with New Zealand and 72 for South Africa over her career. But I mean, look at your numbers, Jade. They are insane. And I think, you know, one, I'd love to know how you cope with the big moments. And two, I'd really like to know what you think's changed in netball across the 20 years that you've been playing for.
I think with the big moments, I think that's the exciting part. I think that's why it's so hard to leave or to quit, is because, you know, you get that adrenaline rush and you're in a big game and it's not just about yourself. You're with all these people that you've been working for years and years and years to achieve this one thing, and it might come down to like the last few seconds, and I just find that so exciting and like what a great way to live your life and doing a sport that you love and just having loads of fun with your mates. And how has England netball changed? I think like the amount of time we get to spend together, like when I first started, you get the odd weekend training or might be over the other weekend, and now we've got the full-time program, and I think that's really accelerated us, and it's meant we can compete with the likes of Australia and New Zealand and just global netball. Like we've got loads of players who have gone over to play in Australia, New Zealand. We've got Australia, New Zealand players over here, and it's just, you've seen everyone traveling all over the country to better themselves. And I think it's just so much more in the media as well. It's a proper global sport, and it's a sport that we can like showcase now. Like when I was growing up, I couldn't really watch it on TV, and now we know like girls can watch it and think, I want to play for England when I'm older. That's pretty cool.
That is, it's really cool. And it's been covered across Sky and across the BBC this time as well. And I have to say, little fangirl moment, you are my inspiration, because we're a similar age. And I think, my word, if Jade Clarke is playing at elite level at centre, you know, that is, it's almost 10K a game that you run, isn't it? You know, it's unbelievable. You're nodding away at me. And I just think, Lindsay, you've got to put those trainers on now and again, you know, because there are some superb women out there on court. And, you know, we thank you so much for your time. And I guess the last two questions that I want to ask you, one is around Serena Kirsten New Guthrie, and I just wondered what her impact on the team will be in that new role of leadership and culture coach.
Yeah, Serena's had massive impact, I think, especially for us as leaders. She's worked like really closely with us, but just generally on the team. I think Serena's so passionate and is such a great, like, culture's always kind of been her thing, and it's something that since she's stopped doing netball, playing netball, she's gone into kind of that route herself anyway. And so I think she brings a lot of confidence to us. She makes us think quite a bit and challenges us, which is really important as a group, and kind of us three. Yeah, really makes us think about how we approach everything. And I think she's so meticulous with her planning that it just feels like we've left no stone unturned with all the culture stuff, that we've really tried to think of kind of most eventualities and situations going into this World Cup and how we'd want to approach it. She's also really funny, yeah, and she's got a baby, and it's just really nice when people bring their babies into work, isn't it? So whenever little Remy's here, it just makes us all very happy as well.
And she doesn't like look at our culture and say, this is what it's going to be like. She's really great at drawing out of us, yeah, of what we want our culture to be and including everyone in that, so we're really owning it.
That's what I was going to say. She'll be like, you're the drivers in this. Like, what do you want? But like Layla said, she primes us and gets that information out of us when we might not have necessarily been thinking it. But then she's like, you guys have said this. This is, yeah, what the team needs. And it's like, yeah.
That's amazing. And you're right. No doubt her perspective will have changed since she's had the baby, and sort of bringing that into camp. It's lovely to hear that's an inspiration to you. She's also quite honest, though, about making the odd boo-boo as a captain. And I just wondered if any of you have made captain boo-boos.
I remember when I was like first captain and I was doing my very first team talk, and like everyone was crowding around me and looking at me, and I was like, oh, I've never done this before. And it just definitely took me about 10 seconds, and we all just started laughing and then gave a team talk. But it was just a nice funny moment when everyone's like, oh, I've not done this before, and I'm pretty nervous. But yeah, and then you get so much practice of it, but then those like first things you do always like, yeah, had a few nervous moments.
So I probably made the team walk out ready to go like 10 minutes early because I'm probably feeling nervous, and then they're like, oh, but we're meant to be at this time, and then probably blamed it on Paul. Paul, you're in it now.
Do you know what, Nat, I think that's better though, because I'm always late to everything, and I think that's unhelpful at a World Cup. You know, you've just got to be on time for the game, so keep that. Last big question is, you know, England are really lucky to have a number of strong leaders, well, a lot of strong leaders and personalities within your group. You've talked about the wider leadership group as well. How does such a dynamic impact the team's performance, and how will you work together efficiently?
Yeah, well, we've sat down in meetings and we've kind of gone through what we think, like what we think our personalities lend to the most within kind of the structure and what we need to bring. And so we have kind of loose role allocations, which we try to uphold, not meaning that any of us won't step into the roles if we needed to, but to try and make sure that we're not all, like you say, just rushing to do one thing and leaving other things unturned.
I think it's important as well for like us to name our strengths, and what you did at the beginning where you asked us to talk about one another, we kind of have done a similar task with the wider leadership group. So it took me back to this same room when we did it.
Yeah.
And I think naming one another's strengths gave us all confidence in, oh, they think like I'm good in this area, or like they think they're good at this thing. And I think that's really important, to know your strengths and what you bring to the leadership group. So I think us discussing that and what we're comfortable with, whilst also pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones a little bit, is really healthy amongst the leadership group. And we all support each other really well with whatever it is. So I think we've got a really nice balance in it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think having that wider leadership group, it gives more people permission to stand up and lead, whereas they might be thinking, oh, it's not down to me. I don't have the confidence. But like telling them, we've got confidence in you, and And we absolutely love it when you step up and being in those conversations and seeing people grow and develop and everyone being able to pull their hand up and lead. It has been a brilliant thing for the squad.
Yeah. And I almost feel like the more voices that are heard, that it encourages everybody to have a bit more of a voice. And it's not just 2-3 people that are being heard all the time. Like, we all 15 people speak and at any stage can say anything, can bring anything to the table. And that, I think that's the environment we want to create, isn't it? Like, not pointy model, like we're all just there to lead.
Yeah. That's lovely, isn't it? Yeah, first among equals. I like that a lot. Best of luck, ladies. I think now that we've done the support, I just need in one word from each of you, what are the challenges for this World Cup? Can you sum it up?
In one word?
Yeah, or two words, or three.
Well, my challenge is in January that I had a sickness bug.
Oh, so, sickness. Okay, you did it in one word. Brilliant.
Get over that. Ready to go.
Yeah. You know, one thing we've talked about is the crowd, how loud it could be. So we've actually done some sessions where there's like been no noise at all and we're not allowed to talk to each other and you've got to use your body language and you might be going like this for the ball. And yeah, so all these things that you might not have thought about before you get on court, which could happen.
Yeah, I think when the demands and the pressures get higher, the closer you get towards the comp starting, it's really important that we stick to our mental prep and our physical prep and know that we've done the work. So I trust in the process in that.
Lovely. You're so good, aren't you? That's why you're all captains and captains and vice captains. Honestly, it really is an absolute pleasure to talk with you. So thank you so much for joining me on the official podcast. You've got things to do with your day in South Africa, so I'm going to let you go. But good luck with those final preparations. And we honestly cannot wait to watch you leading from the front in those brand new red rose dresses.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. You can listen back to all previous episodes of Courtside wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to give us a follow so you don't miss a moment. There's also loads of Rose's insight on the England Netball socials and website. And you can check out netballher.co.uk for the latest on women's health and sport. The countdown to the World Cup is on. I'll see you next time, Courtside.